Happy Juju, how are you? What are you doing? Why are you not picking up my phone?
Well, David Chumi, I'm just scrolling through my phone, going through my WhatsApp, my Facebook, and all that.
Serious, what's the time now?
Wait, it's almost 1800 hours! Mm. I need to tune into Eagle FM! Business Economic Segment is about to play now!
Yes, listen to Business and Economic Segment with David Chumi from 1800 hours to 1900 hours when we talk about business, economics, trade, and current affairs. Do not miss out if you want to learn and move forward with economic advancement.
Eagle FM.
Yeah, good evening, dear listeners. It's that time of the evening that we discuss business and economic affairs. And as it has always been the case, between the hour of 1800 hours to 1900 hours, here is where we discuss money, politics, trade, economics, and everything that has to do with bread and butter, and most importantly, you know, how to look into the future, because everybody is aiming to see how the future is going to look like. We want to send our kids to better school. We want quality education. We want graduates to be able not to be concerned about what will happen to them after they completed their vocational training education, their college education, university, and techniques. And today in the studio, I'm joined by my colleague. Yeah. That is
Francina Pavo.
Francina, how are you doing?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
You look tired. How was your day?
We are pushing.
We are pushing, ne?
Mm-hmm.
Yes, maybe when you look at business, you look at entrepreneurship, you look at hustling. Mm-hmm. I just want your view, especially as somebody who is into journalism, mm-hmm. you know, somebody who do research and go around, either is in the street or either is in a business center or what is called CBD, Central Business District. Mm-hmm. In your view, how are the young people performing, particularly in terms of entrepreneurship in Namibia?
Now, in my own opinion, I feel like there are those ones that are trying, that don't want to be handed bread. They actually want to make it on their own. And you can see that this person is actually trying.
Mm-hmm.
They don't want to go grab people's things. They're actually trying on their own.
Yeah.
And there are those ones that are like, there are no customers if you start a business. You know, there are those people that just want fast money.
Mm-hmm.
They start a business today, they want tomorrow to be already successful.
And I think you are not being fair, because mm-hmm. you say those one who don't want to go and grab phones. But I never see a lady grabbing phone. What do ladies do if they don't want to hustle? What other things do they do if they don't want to hustle? Because guys, they go and grab phones.
Mm-hmm.
What other illegal things do ladies do, and how we should avoid that, particularly when it comes to money, particularly when it comes to those who want to maintain standard of living, especially in this economy?
Okay, on the ladies' side, we tend to start now selling ourselves or dating older men, just to secure our needs.
Yeah. Which is actually not a very good thing, and is putting a lot of the quality of ladies down. And I want us to bring about these things, because if we are not aware and it becomes normal, we'll mm-hmm. never get out of this situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because sometimes you really see, I was watching it, I think The Whistle, where a very young lady man, I think is Kakrad, if I'm not mistaken, at the age of under the age of 16, and what she's doing. No, you are just concerned. But you know, apart from that, you also find those guys who are really doing well. If you look at social media, there are these guys with older with me.
Yeah,
there are also these guys who are selling phones. There are also those one who are selling cars. But you see, some are doing something, but majority, we are negative. The majority, we do not want to push, which is actually a sad thing. But now, what do you think, looking into the future, what are some of the best or thriving hustles that you see, particularly from young people, just to that you see that this venture, maybe there are some coins coming out from this venture or these businesses that young people are into?
You mentioned order with me. Ne?
Yeah.
There's actually a friend of mine that does that.
Oh.
But I'm always also just envious of her, because I'm like, she never complains about money, because she's trying. Unlike some of us, we are too relaxed.
Yeah.
On the other side, other people also start, they go to school, but they are fixing phones.
Okay, okay.
Just to to meet their parents halfway,
and to
have a little bit money in their pockets.
Yeah, that is exactly what we are going to discuss today. What we are going to discuss today, especially when you are going to go into the conversation with what is the name of the guy again? The business consultant.
Seron Koshi.
Yeah, we are going to be in a conversation with Seron Koshi and listen to a leadership consultant. Mm. We're going to listen from this author and also going to see what he means and what he understands about the term business leadership and also the contribution of young people, particularly in terms of business leadership moving forward. Because, you know, Francina, me and you in the next 20 years, we are not going to be young anymore.
Yeah.
The adults that you see there, the uncles that you see there, the mothers, the aunties that you see there, you will be in their shoes, and it's quite very funny.
Mm-hmm.
But you must be able to understand that for us to get there, we must be able to be equipped with those skills that are needed into those space. But in this context, dear listeners, stay tuned, and we'll be back to you shortly, particularly with the conversation of Seron Hoshi and Francina Pavo.
Bye. Okay, today we'll be focusing on business leadership. Now, according to the World Economic Forum, 70% of the African population is under the age of 30. And by 2035, 400 million young people will enter the working or age. The entrepreneurship and business is a crucial topic to discuss, especially in this context of youth. It is further important to look at business leadership among young people in this case. So today we are joined by a consultant, an author, and a leader in youth development, Mr. Seron Koshi. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, ma'am, and thank you very much for having me.
Mr. Koshi, in this business leadership, when somebody asked you, what is business leadership in your own understanding?
Well, okay, thank you for the question.
Uh-huh.
Business leadership basically is the ability to guide people and then the resources that you have at that given period of time toward a shared vision. Of course, this definition really is not far.
Short on cash? Get to where you save for a bargain combo of 5 for just 170.00 Namibian dollars. 2.5 kilograms champion super maize meal, 2.5 kilograms Bokomo fat cooked flour, 2 kilos nice rice, 2 kilos marathon white or brown sugar, and 1 kilogram grande macaroni or spaghetti. That's all for just 170.00 Namibian dollars. Hurry to your favorite you save. We all save at you save.
Mm-hmm.
Towards a shared vision, because this definition really is not far from the initial definition of leadership. And also, at the same time, you need to create value and also making decisions, strong and sound decisions that will ensure the sustainability of your business that you're running.
Okay. Now, what are some of the characters of an effective business leader?
Okay, effective characteristics of a business leader would be, number one, a strong communication, integrity, vision, and accountability. And also, lastly, you need to be able to inspire and empower others that are following.
So now when you say accountability, one will ask, like, what is accountability?
Well, accountability, you need to, because you are running a business.
Uh-huh.
And in this business, you really, there are a lot of things that are involved in this business.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to checks and balances, you need to account to every little penny that comes in and out of your business.
Mm-hmm.
You need to be able to be accountable in terms of what happens, anything that is happening in your business, because you are the one that will be questionable.
Oh, Okay, now, young people are being taught and advised to be entrepreneurs and lead businesses. But what are the best characteristics of youth leaders in businesses?
Okay. Characteristics. Can you rephrase that question again?
Young people are being taught and advised to be entrepreneurs and lead businesses. What are the best characteristics of youth leaders in businesses?
Like. Oh, okay. Well, I'll start off with discipline. Everything really, discipline is the foundation of everything. So you need to be very, very disciplined in terms of being a young entrepreneur. Because if you are not disciplined, you are most likely to fall, or your business won't really go far. Number two, you need to be innovative. In order for your business to grow, you need to come up with innovative ways of running your business. How do you attract clients? On a day-to-day basis, you need to really be able to make sure that you sell your business with new and creative ideas. Because when you are stuck in only one way or one manner of running your business, it doesn't really pull clients, because it gets boring. You bore clients or customers. So you need to be very innovative in when you're an entrepreneur. And also, you need to be able to be a risk taker. As once man once said, business or entrepreneurship is about taking risks. You need to be able to say, let me go both feet in the water and see where it will take you. So, yeah, those are the few characteristics that I would want to share.
Okay, before we move on from that, there was a day I was actually listening to this other program on the radio, and this other guy is apparently a businessman now. And now he's complaining about this running businesses, because he's also a businessman. And now, because Rani Group is everywhere, he's saying that there are no customers for his business anymore, because people are running to Rani Group business, because the things are more cheaper there. What can you say about that?
Well, one wouldn't blame customers for going where it's cheap. Remember, you are not alone in the in that specific market, and you are having competitors. So, also reducing your prices are one of innovative ways in order to pull clients to your site. Because customers are, especially now in this era that we are in, things are quite expensive. And anybody that leaves home will first sit down with, like my sister likes doing that. She will sit down with all catalogs from different shops. Whether there's a difference of $2, she will go there where it's cheaper. So it's the business way of being innovative. Because you need to sit with a mindset of saying, no, you can't just have shelves piling up with stock. The stock needs to go. You know, you need to sell to restock. So that's another way of being innovative. I think one thing I left out that I want to say, you need to set principles for yourself. A principle of how you are going to run your business, or who you are going to be in that business. For example, like we have friends that like taking advantage when you're in a business. They come to you because you are the one that can give items on credit. But if you set a principle and say, no, when you come here, no credit, and your people, your friends, they need to abide to that. They need to know that here there's no credit. So that's a principle you set for yourself, and people will also respect you for that.
Okay. Now, looking at the youth fund given to Namibians young people, do you think there is enough leadership capacity to manage establishment funds?
Yeah, most definitely. I believe in the young people of Namibia.
Mm-hmm.
They've shown to be very hungry, and they've shown to be very like they are really willing to make it in the business area.
Mm.
The leadership capacity is there, but one would say it will need more polishing in terms of mentorship.
Mm-hmm.
There are young people out there that are into business,
mm-hmm.
but they need mentorship. They need mentorship, financial literacy,
mm-hmm.
in order for these businesses to grow. And also, I remember during my time at the National Youth Council, I remember a few young people that the National Youth Council also gave out some business loans,
mm-hmm.
through the youth in business credit scheme.
Mm.
By then, the loans were quite very small. It's not like now that we're talking about 100,000 and so on.
Mm.
Some people got $2,000. Some people got $4,000. But if you look at those people now, their businesses are still running.
Yeah.
It's because they had that drive to say, with the funds I have, I can still manage and get somewhere with this business. So I think with a little mentorship they get, because they had a week of coaching, only 1 week of coaching in terms of what they have to do, how to run the business, how to set up a business plan, and all these things.
Mm.
So all these things were just piled up in 1 week, but some, not all of them, but some, until today, their businesses are really running very well. So I think with the right mentorship, with the right leadership in this thing, they will flourish.
Mm-hmm. So now, there are people out there, né? You can see that this person is a business-oriented person. Né? This person is capable of doing it, but I think they don't have self-confidence, or they are just scared to go out there and try, or they feel like it's too expensive to start a business. What advice do you have for those people?
I would again quote from a wise man who said, "The journey of a thousand miles started with one step."
Mm-hmm.
The more you are afraid to try out something, you will never start with it. My advice would be, whatever it is, because we as young people, we are sitting with a lot of ideas, a lot of capacity within us.
Mm.
But that's because we are afraid.
Mm-hmm.
So somehow we need to get out of that shell. We need to break that shell and just try it out. It's better to fail than not trying at all.
Mm. Yes.
So you try, and then you see how it goes. I mean, you are not alone. When you need help, the mentors are there, coaches are there. But then you'll only know what you're capable of if you break out of that shell.
Mm-hmm. Now, there are those people that, let me say, they start a business.
Mm.
And they just want the business to be successful in a blink of an eye. Once they just started the business, this business 1 week ago, and then tomorrow they already want the business to grow. I feel like you should also give advice to those ones.
business really is a... It's an interesting thing, because, like, I would want to say all of us are really entrepreneurs, né?
Mm.
But some people are just more entrepreneurs than others.
Mm.
And What I mean by that is not all of us will be able to sustain a business.
Yeah.
We can all get into business. Like, we can all run tuck shops, we can all start tuck shops, but out of the few, some of those tuck shops will become retail businesses.
Mm.
I hope I'm making sense.
Yeah, you are.
So, business is about, it's a skill. Running a business is a skill. I think you learn every day.
Mm-hmm.
It is about learning and implementing.
Mm-hmm.
You learn and you implement. That's how you grow your business. Business won't just grow overnight. There's a lot of hard work that you need to put in. There's a lot of skill that you need to put in. So the more you do that, you collect resources, you build it up, and you invest it in your business. That's how you grow day by day. So running a business, being an entrepreneur is a skill. You need to really put a lot of energy and a lot of effort in it in order for you to be successful.
Mm-hmm. Okay, now coming to the end, now in the 70% of the African population youth, where do you see the Namibian youth in 20 years' time in business economy segment?
Okay, 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
Well, as I said, I believe in the Namibian young people. I believe in the Namibian youth and their ability to grow. So in that period, I think I see young people moving from job seekers to job creators.
Uh-huh.
They will be dominating the industry. They will be shaping policy and really driving the innovation. So I think if young people are properly empowered, as the government is trying now, in the long run, really will move away from job seekers to job creators.
Mm-hmm. So now, if you have any last words especially to the young Namibians or people out there that actually have the skill to start the business or have the funds, but they are just scared to, or just words in general for Namibian young people?
Okay, well, my advice would be, in a nutshell, just anybody or any young person listening, my advice would be just start.
Mm-hmm.
Start, spread your wings, and start.
And go.
Because the more you have it in your mind, it's not going to go anywhere. You need to put it down, and you need to, as we say now, dust must be seen.
Mm-hmm.
You need to start somewhere in order to get somewhere.
Okay.
So let's not really die with our business ideas. Let's not die with our creativity. Let's not bury them. Like the late Miles who said the richest place in the world is the cemetery, because people are too afraid to spread their wings. People are too afraid to implement, and then they die with all these skills, their abilities, and their creativity with them. So let's not rob the world of our creativity, because we all have gifts. God gave us all gifts, and it's not God's will for us to die with them.
Mm-hmm.
So let's not rob the world of our skills.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put them in effect. Let's give before we go.
Okay.
That is my final word.
Okay, thank you very much, Mr. Moshi, for taking your time to be with us today.
Thank you very much for having me, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, we are continuing the conversation, especially when you speak about business leadership. What does it mean when you speak about business leadership among the young people, especially looking into the future, to say in the next 10 years or so? Those of you who think you are young, you find yourself in early adulthood, you find yourself also managing industries, and you also find yourself working with different people, because one thing that you need to know is that you are not going to be young forever. But it's quite very important also to understand what is happening within your sector, what is happening within the area that you are operating in, what are some of the skills that you are going to learn from that sector. And a lot of people, they, when they look at leadership, they think when you are learning leadership, it's only that when you are a leader or when you are given a position to lead people. But it's something even the followers must understand, the principles and dynamics of leadership, because one day at any point in time, it is indicated that leadership can be situational. If you are siblings among the house, and at some point or at a certain point in time, parents decided to move to another town, the older one, and in most cases it's no more the older one, the most responsible one will automatically assume the role of leadership. You'll be able to direct, you will be able also to provide direction, you will be able to manage that little resources within the house, and you'll be able also to protect others and also engage in stakeholders engagement, either that is your neighbors, either that is your suppliers within the location, in terms of even if you have a business such as a tuck shop, either is school principals. That's why one of the aspects which was stated is communication. We must be able to be communicating with intention and also effectively, because one of the things that has been stated, and one of the things I should quote is actually the fact that for you to be a good leader, you must be an effective communicator. You must be able to communicate that message that you want to be understood, so that in leadership you are able to work and direct the people of different background, different personalities, people of different capacity, different qualification. But if you can communicate very well, if you can communicate effectively with intention, then it's very clear that you are going to achieve the intended results. And the other thing also that we should end, especially when it comes to business leadership, especially when it's coming to young people, is the issue of conflict and dispute resolutions. Because by nature, human beings being competitive, being pursuing our own interest, there is a high chance that when you are working with people, people end up fighting. People end up gossiping each other, bumping into each other. But as a leader or somebody who understands leadership, it's your role to make sure that you regulate your emotion so that you can deal with those challenges. Because there was a time I asked one CEO to say, how should somebody become an effective CEO? Then he indicated to me that, look, David, being a CEO, being an MD, you are paid a lot of money, but you are not even seeing that money, because your job is to deal with problems and also to deal with pain. Because the more you go up, the more you deal with pain, because human beings interest and also human beings goals, they always collide with each other, and they may also collide with that of an organization. And as leader, you must be able to look into that, because what we really need in Africa is effective leadership. Not only leaders that look at policies, but also leaders who understand people that they are saving, and also leaders who understand the needs, because the needs have been stated, has been spoken, has been written, has been presented. People won award of having best journals in terms of development studies. People made case studies of Africa. People have drafted books that won a lot of global attention about politics, governance, corruption. But few to nothing is moving. Few to nothing is moving. I've seen one of our Namibia daughter of the soil and a well-known diplomat, advocate BS Gawanas, she showed really to say she was shocked about the behaviors, the direction, the posture, and also the communication actually from AU as a reputable institution, particularly when it comes to erosion of democracy in Africa. And she was referencing particularly when AU has thanked what have happening in Uganda. But that is exactly what we need to look at, is to say, although leadership can cut across, if we are able to be effective in terms of those leadership skills, if we are able to get real training, practical trainings, not only in terms of theories, but people who went through. Seron Ngoshi, in conversation with Francina Pavo, she indicated about mentors, because there are always people that are better than us. And the moment we understand that, then that is the foundation of us to learn. I may be good at some area, But I know that I have some weakness because I'm waiting to learn. You must also be able to understand that you may be young, you may be effective, you may be energetic, but there are always people that are better than us. There are always people who have seen the way, who have been in that journey that you are embarking on, and who have committed a lot of mistakes that they do not want you to commit. That's why when people speak about mentorship, it is necessary, it is needed, and anyway, across the board, everybody must have a mentor. Because what one thing I have seen is that when I attended Aaron Gray Fellowship, I realized to say, in mentoring those high performing students, they have realized to say, there is always a weakness in a person. There is always a challenge in a person. If I'm good if I'm technically competent, I may be bad at communication. If I'm good with communication, I may be struggling with anger management. If I may be good at management of emotional regulation, I may be bad in relating and reading a room of people. That is why that is a conversation really that everybody need to make sure that play a crucial role. Ask yourself this question. Just look around. I don't want you to read newspaper. I don't want you to read newspaper or watch TV. I just want you to look around your community. How many people got into conflict with your community leaders? Just ask yourself that question. How many of people have denied offer of leadership position? How many of people withdraw themselves from leadership roles? How many of young people at school, when you are appointed to say you are going to become an SLC or you are going to compete to become an SLC, how many of them have decided to say no, they are not going to be SLC because they don't want to lead people? But when you look into the future, there will be a situational form of leadership. Because when people are in a bus, the bus does not only have one driver. You may be a passenger today, but if you are not learning very fast, you will be able to find it very difficult to drive that bus. That's why you may be somebody who is ignoring leadership, but one day you are going to become a father. You are going to become a mother. But you need to provide leadership at home. And the issue of business leadership is finance, which is quite very difficult to understand and manage. And I always have difficulties, especially in understanding the context of financial literacy and financial education in Namibia, because what content and what context has been used, what context is used, especially when it comes to business, mentorship, and also financial management. How do smaller businesses navigate those spaces? Because it's inevitable that our rescue is on entrepreneurship. Our rescue is alternative form of projects, alternative form of employment, and alternative form of delivering what a lot of people are expecting from government. You might be able to understand that even the measures are showing, they are indicators to say we are not all of us going to be in government. That must be very clear due to the fact that the public sector is bloated. When we speak about bloated public sector, we are also speaking about oversupply of people in the market, oversupplies of various professionals. And we are speaking about oversupply of various professionals. We must also understand that the alternative routes that we are looking into, is entrepreneurship. And those who are going to lead us in terms of business must be able to be capacitated, because it is more than finance, it is more than an institution, but it's also about guiding people so that they can get somewhere. So stay tuned, we are continuing the conversation. Let us look at University of Namibia, then move forward. Looking at University of Namibia live read, UNAM 2026 registration fees, postgraduate and non-first time students, UNAM advises that Namibian students pursuing postgraduate studies or a second or subsequent qualification are not covered under the subsidized tertiary education funding model. These students are required to pay the compulsory registration fees and minimum tuition deposits at time of registration. Outstanding balances from previous years must be cleared before registration. Students are encouraged to familiarize themselves with the fee breakdown and payment deadlines and to use approved electronic payment methods when making payments. That is very clear from University of Namibia, especially when it coming to postgraduate and non-first-time students and the process that you need to follow when it comes to registration, because we are saying, you know, out of all the challenges which are there, out of all the challenges such as I don't want to say stagnation, but maybe moving at a snail pace, particularly with lawmaking house, such as other things not being done. We must also celebrate, especially when a public sector is really pushing, or there is practicality which is seen on the ground, particularly when it is coming to free education, when it coming to subsidized education, and there is nobody who should feel not being part of education, because one thing that we must be very clear, and that one thing that we should not be afraid of, is not to go to school. Never ever. I'm always telling people that if I get money, I'm always telling people that if I get opportunity to study, I will not waste it. I've done that before. And I should encourage everybody to say, if you get free education, use that, because we may be poor, but an educated person is just an educated person. Let us not be taught by people that are anti-education. And let me just tell you why we are here. It's quite... there is actually nothing which make a non educated person, tertiary wise, seeing somebody who went to tertiary institution suffering. But we must be able to see that no matter the situation on the ground, people must be able to go to school. Whatever you are standing, looking at the market, let us not give up in terms of education, because remember, when you are educated, it's not only about standard, but also networking and knowing people. And also understanding the basics, because something that can take somebody 3 months to understand or 20 days to understand you, is only going to take you 2 hours, because you went through the process. You were taught by different people. You form a network, and that is what the future needs. So we are continuing with business and economic segment with me, David Shombe, and also Francina Pavo. And we are pushing the conversation of business leadership. And we are also asking the question of saying, looking ahead, there are always people who look at the bigger picture. Looking ahead, where we want to go, what need to be done, when and how. To what extent are we saying we have filled that gap of a generational conflict? To what extent are we saying that young people have been capacitated? I want you to look at various institutions, particularly where young people are leading, to say, what is that need to be done to make sure that we Namibians have groomed the leaders of tomorrow? Namibians have groomed who will lead us tomorrow, because we need competent, technically competent people, and not only technically competent, but also competent in terms of the way they deal with soft skills such as human relation skills, the skills of conflict resolutions, and also the skills of navigating through different people of different personalities, and also individuals that are coming from the various countries, because there is always somebody with a different intention. There is always that business partner who must be understood. If you don't understand him, then you will not be able to navigate through. That is why today we look at that context, because we must also look at the way we deal with our small things. How do you manage your barber shop? As a young person, how do you manage your tax shop? How do you manage the kapana that you are selling? How do you lead one person that you have recruited at the O'Brien stand to assist you? Because the way you treat that person who you are sending to buy onions, spice, stock, it also says a lot about the future. It says a lot about your business leadership, because business leadership is not only about corporate, well established. Because if you are selling maize and you have an assistant who is helping you to get maize and also is helping you to sell when you are not there, or you are working together but you are in charge, the way you are treating that person, the way you are leading, it also says a lot about business leadership skills. And I think we should agree, especially with what is stated by the guest who is Aaron Mwashi, to say mentorship is very important because it's a short way to get where you want to get into. Because with mentorship, it's easier for you to avoid a lot of mistakes. Because you have somebody who is at your back, who is guiding you when you fall. That person fell 20 times, will always be able to assist you. Because that of who know the way may be able to make you understand, make your journey easier. And we can extend it to politics, we can extend it to faith-based institutions to say, where is the transition? Where is the transition? What are some of the characters which are being shown out there? Do we also have patience in terms of leadership? Or everybody want to be seen? Go to an event, go to a place, and look at the young people and just ask a person, who are you? It is not wrong to boast. And I was also at that point. It's not wrong to boast. There was a point where I don't want to say we were most powerful youth within a certain region or within a certain period of time. Just a little thing, a little opportunity that you get to lead, then it shows your true character of dealing with authority. And it's actually very funny. And it's being presented itself, but you're asking yourself, had we have mentors? Or you are asking yourself to say, why it is necessary now to have mentors to monitor your skills while you are young? Why it is necessary? Because you'll be able to avoid a lot of mistakes. There is this thing of braggadocious. You, not to say bragging. As I know, I'm David Shombe, I'm a leader here. I also do this and all these things. And I also command authority here and there. But when somebody come and look at your institution that you are leading, when somebody come and look at the way you are communicating, people say, no. What we have here is just a position. But this person, maybe, can be directed here. And let us also have that patience of learning. Because we just realize that when it comes to become a master in a certain area, we don't need to be shy and continue learning. Yes, you must make mistakes, but the ability to learn and not present ourselves as expert will humble us and will also teach us more. And let us to be open for criticism. And there is also a very important thing, and it's not only shown within the youth population in terms of leadership, also among some of the elders, to say criticism is not a threat. A leader must be able to understand the difference between criticism and threat, criticism and sabotaging. Somebody is just not happy with the way treated with the principles or with authority. But a leader who is open up and say, I'm going to look into that and come to the final conclusion, is a very futuristic leader, a leader who consult. Because young people, if you give me to run a project, I will say, David, head of project, come fire, come thunder. Even if you come and say, no, David, you are missing some of the details. I say, no, do you know that I'm David Shombe, head of this project? And it's the downfall, not only of that person as a young leader, but it's a downfall of future institutions. Because if somebody has to tell you, to say, majority of African population, currently as you are speaking, is under the age of 70, which means that more than 69% of Africans are very young people. But what is very interesting is that as it has been stated by World Economic Forum to say, by 2035 from now on is 8, not even 9 years, it's 8 years to say, just 8 years from now, young people that are going to enter the working age are going to be 4 million in Africa. And mind you, that will be the time of you know, intensification. If what is being stated, if we have moved at this pace that we want to get into, especially when it comes to African continental free trade area, that will be the time of intensified intercontinental trade. Now, ask yourself this question. If you are not able to manage people in classroom as captain of the class, as a class representative within a certain module at a university, how are you going to manage affairs that are involving people of different countries? If you are not able to manage funds of an event at home, such as a wedding event, such as a funeral, there are incidents where people run away with young people, actually. So, no, I studied accounting at IUM and AST and many other institutions. Just to give an example, somebody studied accounting and said, oh, Susanna, you studied accounting. Here is contribution from family members. We are in our uncle's funeral, or we are in the wedding. You are the organizer because you study finance, you plan your budget and all these things. Then a person just disappear. Then we see you, people are looking for you on social media. It may look like a smart move, but what will happen now to you if you become a chief financial officer, you become a CFO within an investment firm? How are you going to operate? What if one day you become a minister of finance? Because whether we ignore it or we understand it, the generational a change will happen. And when that happens, we do not need Namibia to collapse. We need young people who, as it was stated by Seron Hoshi, to be implemented and also to look at beyond position. And also leaders who are able to give opportunities to others. Because if we get the business sector correctly, then we can do any other things correctly. Somebody made a joke to say we have retired politicians who went back and looked for employment, which is actually, to me, not a bad thing. But somebody made a joke to say, but they were saying we are lazy, we must look for our own, we must create our own job, but we don't even have enough capital. Why are they not able to do that? But that is just something that we have observed. But what is necessary is that we have necessary skills. We have necessary skills. And do we have time to learn those necessary skills so that we can be able to move forward? Now, just to divert from a conversation a little bit, there's something which is happening in South Africa, especially looking at this climate change issue. So, say when you look at the northern regions in South Africa, such as Limpopo, look in Mpumalanga, you will be able to see that there is unpredictability in terms of weather pattern, where there is flood, and there is also, heavy rain. And SADC prediction and global prediction are indicating that in the next 24 hours, it's going to be very heavy rainfall. We see statistics are also coming to us to say over 200 tourists were vacated or evacuated from Kruger National Park. We see when you look on social media, on TV, cars and bridges are being broken But it's also something that we need to look at into as Namibia to say, how is our disaster risk management response? How is our disaster risk management response? And how is our readiness in 2026 in dealing with natural disaster? We are not saying it's coming to Namibia, because so far that unpredictability in terms of rain pattern has impacted Mozambique and Zambia, and in combination the past 2 weeks it's around over 100 people died through those incidents. Search and rescue teams are on board. Just something that you should look at, especially heavy rainfall in South Africa, particularly northern regions, or to say northern provinces. And also to say, what is our readiness? What is our readiness as, you know, as a country in terms of dealing with disaster and also risk management? And disaster risk management, or disasters when they occur, they do not make missed calls, although there are predictions which are showing. But for example, what have happened last year when there was a veld fire in Etosha. It surprised us, because it almost went for the whole week. But somebody may be able also to ask a question to say, now that we have known better, what is that that we are learning to make sure that we are always on standby? We always have a response team. We always are on standby in terms of logistics, in terms of response team, and also in terms of saving lives of people and also lives of animals, especially when it comes to wildfire that destroy resources. We have seen our wealth of nation. We have seen our resources, our elephants. My elephants, actually, because you know, when you look at like a tother, that is like our kraal, and everybody have shares there. Most Namibian citizens, everybody have shares there. When kasongos are burning, we must be concerned. When the zebras are being burned, we must be concerned. Yeah, that's why it's also maybe a wake up call to our team, especially I think run by the Office of the Prime Minister. When you look at disaster and the risk management, then it's quite important to have people on standby and to deal with any situation, because surprises can come anytime. Surprises of cyber incidents, cyber attacks, surprises of wildfire, surprises of flood, and many other things, drought, and many other things. But what is necessary is that you must always be ready.
Save so much more in 2026 at WB. Get 1 liter Clover Ultra UHT milk for $19.99. 1 kg Top Score Instant Maize for only $23.99. 500 gram Bacomo Cornflakes for only $29.99. And 8 Twin Saver 300 sheet 1-ply toilet rolls for only $33.99. See more January specials at Wurmanbrock.com. We care.
Necessary is that you must always be ready before anything have happened, and also ready on an altar. Team or nation will always be able to save its people, because what's really happening in South Africa, you see helicopters, you see you know, essential workers, rescue team really busy containing those situation, and also to see when others are in trouble, do not laugh or do not just look, because that means that you can also get into trouble. But you must be always be ready. Yeah, coming back to business leadership, coming back to business leadership, there is always something that I always want to speak about, especially with our SMEs. Looking at incubation centers, to say get in conversation with one young entrepreneur, say, no, David, you know what, ne? In Namibia, we are over-mentored. We are in this boot camp, we are in this mentorship program, we are in this conference, but people don't really allow us to, you know, to have wings and to go out there. Then maybe somebody also may ask to say, is the environment allow you to operate on your own? Because if you are an SME and you are an incubation center for 10 years, then you become an adult baby because you are also blocking the line. You are not giving space and opportunities to others so that they can also practically participate in business. And if you are taught leadership, we must also show it by examples, not only by name. People don't need to know what you do and the rank that you have. It must be shown at your work to say, no, I think this lady is a leader somewhere. This lady has empathy. This lady knows how to communicate and work with people. I think she is mentored and is always emotionally regulated. And this guy maybe is leading somewhere. It must be shown in public space, and also it must be shown in engaging other people. That's why somebody, I think it's my colleague Helmut, has posted one day something like, you know, we must learn to respect people based on not knowing what they do for a living. And that is also approach of leaders, because when we speak about mentorship, you also who is mentored, you are also mentoring others. But treating people and with fairness without knowing where they are coming from, what they have studied, what rank they have, then it's also necessary. So that's why that is indeed the conversation for today, especially when you look at that aspect. So, dear listeners, we are almost at the end of our conversation, and we are going to leave you in the good hands of Omtuma team, especially we speak about Kapateka Toka and Tate Fly, especially when they are going to engage with you in Omtuma program. So for me, David Shome, bye-bye for now. See you around tomorrow at early morning scoop. And do not forget that the Villager newspaper for tomorrow is out. And make sure that you subscribe, you read, because this year, when we enter those economic conversations, when we enter those conversation anywhere we find ourselves, we must not only be in that conversation and we are saying, yeah, ne, we are saying, okay, ne, but we must be a nation that read, a nation that understand where we are coming from and where we are going, and looking into that aspect. When you read something, when you have a culture of reading documents, books, novels, and also understanding current affairs, it's easier for you to enter conversation, to direct, to give clarity, and also to lead people. Because if you don't have economic insight, really, you become a terrible person. Because currently, because we have, you know, fast moving internet, you find yourself embarrassed, because by the time you communicate, the world is already 20 miles ahead of you. That's why it's always good to keep up to date, read, and also reason, because that is the only way that we are going to solve the challenges that we are facing now, that we'll be facing in the future, and also the only way that we are going to upgrade this beautiful country of ours, Namibia. And bye-bye, see you, and sharp.